Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First we had the bike shed, then the security hut, and now it seems a 70-metre wall that ended up costing nearly €500,000. More controversy this morning. The OPW is coming under fire over that new wall. It has been built around the offices of the Workplace Relations Commission in Ball's Bridge in Dublin. The build was originally expected to cost €200,000, but the added costs brought it up to €490,000. Well, for more, we're joined by Ciarán McCarthy, who's an engineer and house builder with KMC Homes. And Ciarán is also co-presenter of Cheap Irish Homes, and Padraig Tobin, who we'll speak to in a moment, AIMTU leader. But Ciarán, first to you. I mean, you've seen the pictures, I know, of the wall in the papers today. And as I said there, it was going to cost 200,000. Then it went up to, let's call it €500,000, 490,000. Justified or not, in your view?
Good morning, Claire. Well, I suppose, first of all, we've got to make sure that the 200,000 in itself is justified. So we're kind of assuming that figure stands up. You see, I suppose you've got to look at the way the figures are presented. I mean, the 200,000 is for a wall. There doesn't seem to have been any allowance for underground services. And I know from having built in city centre locations many times, you're guaranteed there will be underground services, whether they're available on maps or not. They're definitely going to be there. So certainly there should have been some level of scoping out day one and an allowance made for negotiating underground services, because if you're in the last 200 years, you're guaranteed there will be underground services, albeit look, we're looking at some huge costs for those services. Mm-hmm.
But maybe, and we don't know this, maybe in the 200,000 accounted for that, because that's still a very significant sum to build a wall of that size.
Okay, so if you look at the 200,000, I mean, the wall is 70 metres long and it's made from recycled old brick, kind of large bricks. So, and you have a capping detail on the wall. So it's quite easy to dig into those figures and look at the detail estimate and have a QS to check it. Because if you think of what's involved, you have the demolition of the old wall, you have the protection of the site because you're in a city centre location, so you're protecting from the public both inside and outside the wall. I'm not sure if there's a fall on the inside of the wall, whether there is a kind of retaining set up and scaffolding required. There's definitely some level of scaffolding required going up 2 metres high. Then you have to, you're working in a city centre location, so all the trucks coming and going and all personnel, you're dealing in a congested area, so there's a lot that goes with that. Then you have to strip the old wall, remove everything to a licensed landfill facility, and you have to strip the old brick one by one and clean them by hand, ready for reuse. Now, I think there was mentioned before that they might have run out of brick as well. So, I mean, that's another question, how the delays happened there. But when you go in, you have a rate per linear metre of the foundation once the engineer had detailed the foundation, and then you have a rate per square metre of the wall, including the old brick. There's possibly a blockwork wall on the inside, I don't know. And then you have a capping detail. So it's quite easy to dig through those figures and work out how much value was in the original estimate.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the cost for this live wire, the cost that had to go to the ESB to deal with the live wire that was found, and there were costs to Dublin City Council as well.
Yeah. So it really has to do with, as you mentioned, it has to do with the way the original figures were presented. Did it include a contingency sum for unforeseen works in the ground? Because you know you will be seeing them, is the first question. And even before the work's begun, you can certainly do, and you typically would do, a series of trial holes under the ground at various locations to see what services you will be seeing in light of all the drawings you can get from all the suppliers showing where all the services are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all that. So, I mean, like, what did, as you rightly said, what did the 200,000 originally include for? Did it have a contingency for underground services or not? That's a question. Then you're into 54K to DSB. That is an ESB charge. There's little or nothing you can do about that. That's down to DSB. There's little room available for negotiation there. You have a 61.5K to Dublin City Council for footpath and parking closures. Again, that's a third-party cost. Now, there is an ancillary figure of 82.5 grand. Who knows what's involved there? That's certainly worth digging into.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk to Padraig Tobin in just a moment, but he's worked it out as costing €7,000 a metre for this wall.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose on the back of an envelope, yeah, you can make that assessment. But I think you really need to see the detail here, because, like, what was in the original 200K? What's in the ancillary 82.5K? So that's 282.5 grand. that we need to see detail of before we get into the ESBs and the DCCs figures.
Mm-hmm. You know? So it sounds to me as though you're wary, Ciarán, of saying that half a million is really pushing it here.
It's tempting to turn around and say, look, this is a crazy price of half a million. How did it all double? I mean, there are some big figures here that we've no breakdown of. The ESB, which we've little or no control of. Dublin City Council, which we've little or no control of. There's the ancillary of 82.5 grand. What was that for? And we don't know what was in or out in the original 200 grand. So I think we need to get to the bottom of those and then see how it all stacks up. Because I think it does show that the original scoping of the works has a bit of a question mark over it. Because we look, you know, in a city centre location, I've worked in numerous times, you know, when you go underground in a city, there will be services, some fairly substantial services. But typically you'd know what they are and you have a reasonable allowance for unforeseen to the ground, even beyond those services.
Yeah, and I see there in the fee that went to Dublin City Council, which was 61,500, that was for footpaths and public parking so that could be closed off. What we don't know is whether parking had to be found for the WRC staff, because they may have been disrupted as well. I mean, that may be in there too, in another headline cost. We don't know that, do we?
No, I mean, is that in the ancillary cost? We don't know. So there's a lot more here than meets the eye, and there's a lot more due diligence that needs to be done before we get into how did it double, because maybe it wasn't presented particularly well day one, and maybe it wasn't scoped out particularly well day one.
Right. Well, listen, Ciarán, if you can stay on the line, do, while I speak to Pather Tobin. Good morning to you, Pather Tobin. You say that this is absolutely outrageous. Has your mind been changed? Are you encouraged to hold fire, given what you've heard from Ciarán McCarthy there?
No, I think there's a couple of different ingredients to this. First of all, the first ingredient is the lack of transparency that exists with the OPW. So it took us, you know, weeks and weeks of pulling information out of the OPW before we got to the bottom of the bike shed. And at the end of that, we still weren't told what about €30,000 worth of day rate labour was for, or how much the labour rates were. So here we have the ancillary charge of €82,000. It's unacceptable for the OPW to turn around and box all of that cost in together and not give a detail as to what exactly it stands for. That should be as clear as crystal. And in fairness, Ken Fox, the journalist who did the work on this, you know, I understand that he's been frustrated significantly by the OPW in the past in terms of getting information out. And indeed, the finance committee that I'm on have also been frustrated. The second point I'd make, and the second ingredient here, is that the OPW does work like a luxury brand for a coddled political class. And what I mean for that in that is, again, if you look at the bike shed, they came up with the actual figure of over €350,000 initially before that was even tendered for. So this is an organisation that is already pitching very, very high for the cost of its own particular projects, which is incredible. The point here that they didn't have enough bricks to finish the job.
I don't know whether that's quite fair. I don't think anyone would want to see a slatted shed put up on the side of Leinster House for the bikes. You know, you've got to build what fits with the environment. You know, you've got to, Pather, and you'd probably be the first one to criticise if they put some awful modern-looking thing on the side of that building.
No, I absolutely do believe that there needs to be some sympathy for the environment. But as the word I've used for the bike shed before is that it's a Gucci bicycle shed. It is at the highest level of spend in terms of this. You mentioned that the €7,000 cost per meter. Now, this is a 2 meter wall, which works out at about then €3,500 per square meter. I spoke to a builder today who said that €500 per square meter would be considered a very expensive wall using the very best of materials.
Okay, we have Ciarán with us. Is that right, Ciarán?
Yeah, it does. Look, the figures do sound very strong. I mean, what we're having to assume is that the original 200,000 for the wall was tendered and that they got competitive rates. It's impossible to know until you actually see what was built. I mean, you are reusing recycled brick, so every brick has to be taken down, cleaned by hand. There might be specialist mortars required to put the brick back up. You're probably working under the city architect's direction as well. You're in a conservation area. And then there's a lot of work with hoardings and whatever you and protection. And then you've the detail of the capping on top. So until we and look, to be honest, when you start building with old bricks, the wall probably isn't strong enough with a single line of brick, even though they are big bricks. So you probably have another wall behind it that is behind the scenes and plastered and all that. So it's impossible to know until you knew exactly what was built. Claire. But like, I think the biggest question mark here is less around the original 200K. It's what was in the original 200K. Was there an allowance for underground services? And how do we get from 200 up to, you know, 480 or whatever. So yeah, and that, we need to see the detail really clear.
And Pather, that's essentially what you're saying as well. You know, how did it get to this figure?
Yeah, so I'm saying that there's a lack of transparency by the OPW, and I think it's strategic, to be honest. You know, we mentioned there about the fact that they found out in the middle of the job that they didn't have enough bricks to finish the particular job, and that created a delay which created a cost. Now, it's a sixth-class maths question of how many bricks would you need given the size of that brick and the full area of the wall. And the idea that the OPW did not actually do the necessary work to work that out is absolutely incredible. And, you know, there's a cost to this, not just, you know, and this isn't just visible in relation to the OPW. It's right across the delivery of big projects in this country. And the Children's Hospital is an example of state projects that are ballooning out of cost and grinding to a halt in terms of delivery. And if we tolerate this, it means that we're going to incinerate taxpayers' money and we're not going to have the facilities we need to actually make sure that people can live their lives properly.
So you want an Elon Musk Department of Government Efficiency?
Well, we stated very clearly that there should be a junior minister in terms of government efficiency. That junior minister should be placed within the Department of the Taoiseach to make the department to make the Taoiseach responsible for this level of waste, because it is hitting all elements of life at the moment in relation to the slow rollout of these jobs and the massive costs involved in it. And
Ciarán, can I just come back to you on what Pather calls this? He says it's a wall of shame. Am I right in saying you wouldn't agree with that?
I would certainly agree that the counting of the bricks could have been done at the start of the job and should have been done at the start of the job. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've involved in several projects like this, and that's a given, and it's a builder's risk, I would have thought as well, not not a governmental risk. Second of all, I would agree that there are major questions to be asked here, and they should be asked. And look, when you look at other projects around the place, there is definitely money that, going astray that could be, you know, ring fenced and dealt with a lot more efficiently. There's no doubt about that.
All right, listen, we'll leave it there. Thank you both, Pather Tobin from AIM2 and Ciarán McCarthy, who's an engineer and house builder with KMC Homes. Coming up next, Trump's threat to fire federal workers who don't return to the office.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.